And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Pastor Al Baker. Pastor Al, it's wonderful to have you back with us.
Thank you, Dan. It's a joy to be with you and really looking forward to our time.
A big day coming up tomorrow. It's Mother's Day. It's something that we all share in common, Pastor Al. We all have mothers. We've been born into this world, and we come via a mother. Whether she was a good mother or maybe not quite so good, it's a commonality we all share. So Mother's Day, it's a big one. Pastor Al,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it is a big day, and I think back to my mom. I thought a lot about her. She died when she was 65, so we didn't, and that was a long time ago. But I look back on her life, and at the time, she came to know the Lord near the end of her life, which, of course, is a great, great encouragement and blessing to me. But she wasn't a Christian most of her life, but she was a good moral person. And I think the thing that characterized her life more than anything else was that she was totally devoted to my father, her husband, and my brother and sister and I. Totally devoted. And, you know, it's just it's a rare thing to see. And so I'm very thankful for my mom. And I hope that what we're saying here today will be a great encouragement to the moms in your audience.
Yeah. That's right. I think of my own mom, and I miss her dearly. She died back in 2010, and the years are clicking by now. I missed her greatly and still do. I remember I would drive around right after her death, and the old song would come back, "Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child," and it would come to mind.
Yeah.
But she knew the Lord, too, and knew the Lord for most of her adult life, and so she was a blessing. I think one thing that comes to my mind is that mothers, and fathers for that matter, they are not perfect people, are they?
No, they're not. I think that it's easy for people today to maybe look back on their childhood and put a lot of blame on their parents and so forth. Maybe even as adults, they've walked away from the faith and say, "Oh, well, it was my parents' fault."
Yeah.
And I try to tell parents all the time that, you know, at the end of the day, none of us were perfect fathers or mothers. None of us were. But at the end of the day, our adult children, if we have those who have turned away from the faith, yeah, we may have contributed to it in some way, but they own it themselves. And so
yes,
it's very easy for parents to feel guilty, beat themselves up. But at the end of the day, it is the responsibility of each individual person to come to know the Lord. And I do think, Dan, that there's a great misconception today about the place of biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. And I think that it's very easy for women to miss what God's calling is for them in their lives.
That's right. We're talking today with Pastor Al Baker, and Pastor Al, you've got a lot of experience too. You've worked with families and churches and mothers and fathers, and having gone through raising children yourself, is there any particular portion of Scripture that comes to mind as we talk about mothers?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is the prototypical woman, which, is, of course, is in Proverbs 31. But I like to, and of course, that's a marvelous passage, but
sure.
I like to think about what I believe are the four major characteristics of biblical womanhood. And these are drawn from various passages in the Bible. And I think the first thing is that a woman is a conceiver. She's the one who conceives babies in her womb. And of course, this does not mean that all women have children. Some women are not able to for various reasons. Some don't get married and so forth. But the general rule is that women are conceivers, and they seem inherently and instinctively to own up to their responsibility to be a mother. Mm-hmm. It's pretty astounding, you know, to see that. And then secondly, I think that women are to be nurturers. And they nurture their children. And it's a beautiful thing to see mothers nursing their babies and taking care of them and so forth. But also, I think that they are helpers. You know, in fact, God says to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make for you a helper suitable for you.
Yes.
And so women have this amazing ability to be a helper, to help their husbands. And I think that, first of all, I don't believe there's anything in the scripture that says a woman cannot work outside the home. I mean, it's pretty clear that the Proverbs 31 woman was very competent in her work. But I do believe the scripture says that the primary responsibility of the mother is to nurture her family, to take care of them, and to be a helper to her husband, to give him the freedom to be out there in the workplace and provide for his family and so forth. So my wife, we were joking about it the other day. She worked outside the home for like the first 6 months we were married. She was a teacher. Then we went to work at a church. But my wife has always been very effective in making money and helping the family out in other ways, particularly in real estate. She's just good at, you know, we've bought houses and we've lived in them for a few years and then sold them and made some money and so forth. And you know, that was her. She was able to do that. And so I think that women can help their families out in those particular ways. I remember when I was in college, I was in the School of Business at the University of Alabama, and I remember there was only one woman in our class. This was 50 years ago. And, of course, now it's changed dramatically. And again, I'm not saying that women can't be in the professional world, but I do believe that what happens a lot of times is women believe that, okay, I really want to break the glass ceiling, so to speak. I want to be head of a corporation, so forth. And they could do that. I mean, there's very capable women that could do that.
Sure.
But what happens is that a lot of times, because they're doing that, they're not married. They're giving themselves to their work. And then about age 40 or 45, they realize, whoa, I really would like to be married. Or I would really like to have children. And sometimes it's just too late for them.
Yes.
And that's kind of sad to see.
It is.
And I do think that because of the way things are today in our culture, increasingly there is a disdain for having children. It's pretty astonishing. But around the world, not even in just developing nations, but even in maybe third world countries, there's the fertility rate is way down. And I think part of that is because it's hard for me to believe this, but I think that motherhood is frowned upon in many places because it's hard work to bring children into the world and to take care of them. It is not easy. And it's fascinating to me and sad at the same time to see people putting so much emphasis on their pets, you know, a dog or a cat or whatever, and they know they need some kind of encouragement and love.
Sure.
And they want to give love to something. But so it's much easier to have a dog than just have a child or two.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's the family's missing significantly the privilege of having children. So for the mothers in your audience, I say, God bless you.
Amen.
You are an incredible blessing to your husband, to your children. And if you never work a day outside of the home, you are incredibly valuable, and your work is eternal.
Mm.
And you're bringing children up to love Christ, and that's the most important thing you could ever do.
Mm. Amen. Earlier, you mentioned Proverbs 31, And I had it open ahead of time, but my eye fell upon a verse from chapter 30 that kind of ties into something you're saying right now. Verse 16, where he says, four things never say it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire that never says it is enough. It's an interesting list, and it's a very negative list. And the barren womb is there. Some women can have children, but many can and choose not to. And I think that, generally speaking, they're missing out on a wonderful blessing by leaving it till later, and then maybe they can't have children, or just having this frame of mind that I think of Jesus, and Jesus loved children. You can see it. He says, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He loved children, and so we can love children too. And maybe you don't, dear listener. Maybe you don't really have this desire to have children. Maybe it's something to pray about and really seek the Lord about having children if you're still able so to do.
Well, that's right, and it's no question. It's an incredibly demanding job.
Oh.
I tell people a lot. I'll say, you know, you get married and maybe you both have a nice job and you enjoy the extra money you have and the travel and so forth. And then you decide to have children, and wow, it's like a whole different world. And the mother's at home, and she's not, you know, out in the workplace, and she's taking care of little ones all day and so forth, and up all hours of the night. And I say, maybe, you know, you and your husband have not had a good night of sleep in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that.
There is, but it's incredibly worth it.
You know, you remind me of something. Today we're talking with Pastor Al Baker. In another church I was in, there was a lady that was inclined to try to help the moms, and she implemented a mom's morning out where they would drop off their children with this very capable lady, and she would take care of the children and give the moms a day off. It was a wonderful blessing for the moms, and that's a ministry I think our churches would do well to adopt.
Yeah, that's true. I know that we had that in our churches too, and when we had little ones in our family, it was wonderful to be able to drop them off and,
yeah,
you know, let the wife have a little free time, or maybe she would go, you know, clothes shopping or whatever she could do, but she couldn't do when the little ones were around. So yeah, it's a great blessing. And again, you know, this idea of nurturing, I don't think a woman ever really loses that. And
right.
So even if you've never had children, a woman's never had children, she can still be a nurturer to the children in the church.
Mm-hmm.
To the children in the neighborhood. She can teach them the scriptures and so forth. And when she's older, she can nurture the little ones, you know, that are, you know, 3 or 4 years old or 15 or 20 years old. And
yeah.
Also, it's another interesting thing about this is my wife and I were speaking recently to a group of college students, and it was fascinating to me. And I've actually seen this before, but a couple of the college kids, because, you know, we're in our early 70s, and a couple of these college kids said, yeah, we love talking to people your age, you know, and it really is fascinating. You know, people are the Gen Zs, I guess they call them. They really like to connect with the older people. And
yeah.
I think it's because sometimes their parents are so busy with their work or hobbies or whatever that the kids don't get a lot of attention. And so, you know, older people, generally speaking, have more time. They have some wisdom, generally speaking. And I just find that really interesting. And so it was, we just loved talking to these college kids. It was a lot of fun. We
yeah.
enjoyed it. And I think people who are older just need to say, wow, you know, I could really have a ministry with these younger people, even though my kids are grown or grandkids are grown. God could still give me a ministry with these young people. Yeah. And I would really encourage your audience to do that.
It would be very fulfilling, too. Our guest today is Pastor Al Baker. And Pastor Al has a heart, has a gift for evangelism. And Pastor Al, I know that's something you carry, that God has given you the ability to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And somehow he's taken away your fear, or given you ability to cope with fear of even doing open-air preaching. Can you talk about that for just 1 minute, if you don't mind?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how, if you look at the book of Acts and the Gospels, almost every sermon listed, either by Jesus or the apostles, was an open-air preaching session. The only one I can think of that was not was in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus began his ministry. And he was in his hometown, and he was attending the synagogue, and he read from Isaiah and then preached. So that was at the synagogue. But other than that, it was outdoors.
Wow.
And I always like to say that if everybody went to church on Sunday and every church really preached the gospel, then there would be no need for open-air preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing that that is not the case, then we must go with the gospel to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the apostles did. That's what the prophets did. They didn't wait around for people to walk in the church door. They got out and they preached and urged people to repent and believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very, very good biblical model. And, of course, I'm very aware that probably a lot of people in your audience have seen some really nasty street preachers who call people out and are very, very negative toward people. And that's not what Jesus did. That's not what the apostles did. And I don't think that's what I do or we should do. We have to speak of Christ. We have to speak of sin. But we also have to speak of the glory and excellency of Christ, who died for our sins. And this is the free offer of the gospel. Anybody who repents and believes will be saved. And
Amen.
There's hope for everyone. And as I always say when I'm preaching, I'll talk about the penalty of sin, which is death, and which is a hell. But I'll say nobody has to go there. Jesus died for sinners.
Amen.
Just turn to him, and he will cleanse and he will forgive. And so it always starts with that, getting back to the mother and so forth. The mother has an amazing opportunity to teach her children the scriptures. I'm reminded of Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother. I believe they had 13 children. I can't remember the exact number. And she was a godly woman, and she taught her children the scriptures.
Mm.
And she had a difficult marriage. It was not a good marriage. Her husband was a pastor, but there was financial issues. In fact, he spent a lot of time in debtor's prison.
Hmm.
But she was a godly woman, and she was always so busy with her children that she found it difficult to find time to pray by herself. So what she would do is, when the kids are running around, she would pull up part of her skirt over her face and cover her face and pray, and that's when the kids knew to leave her alone.
A little tent.
Yeah,
a prayer tent.
That's right. That's right. And she also was an excellent Bible teacher, and she taught a Bible study in her home, and men and women both flocked to hear her. She was a great communicator of the Bible. Think of it like this. She was the father of the Methodist Church, because John and Charles Wesley, you know, were the leaders in the Methodist Church.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, you never know what a mom can do in due time. Is she just faithfully leading her children, teaching them, and urging them to call on the name of Christ and to walk in his ways, and when necessary, to chastise them and discipline them. And of course, the husband is ultimately responsible, but he's working. He's out in the workplace.
Yeah.
He can't devote all his day to the children as the mom can. So it's an incredibly yes. important and vital role in the family.
Every major point in our marriage and life really revolved around my wife, actually. Even Redeemer Broadcasting, if it wasn't for her, this ministry wouldn't exist, not at all. She's the one with the good ideas. I had the technical, but I lacked ideas, and she was the one that was able to teach our children and stay with it, and it was hard. I mean, you know, we chose to homeschool, didn't have to. We chose it by God's grace, and she knew when the first one was in her womb that there's no way I want this child going to the public school system, because she understood what it was like, and so she had that conviction right from the start. I was very fortunate, very, very fortunate. Anything else you want to cover? We've got maybe 3-4 minutes left. Today we're talking about mothers. This weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is Mother's Day, and we celebrate our mothers, and those of us who are older and have lost our mothers now, they've passed on, we grieve them, but we're very thankful for them that we had them growing up.
Yeah, I would say one last thing I would say, Dan, is if there's men and women both listening to this program, and tomorrow is Mother's Day, I would urge you to really, and your mother's still alive, I would urge you to call her if you're from out of, you know, if you're out of town, if you don't live close to each other, send her flowers, do something special for her. Because sometimes younger people get so involved in their lives that they're not giving the attention and they're not honoring their parents as they ought. And I think a good use of this day is to just stop and think about what your mom has meant to you and write her a letter. Send her, now it's easy, you don't have to put it in the mail, just text it to her, you know,
yes.
put it on email or whatever. But sit down and think of just several things that stand out in your mind about what she's meant to you. And this would be incredibly valuable because, again, when your mom dies, it's too late to say these things.
Yeah, it is.
And you may have regrets. There's no reason to have regrets. So
no.
Reach out now and speak to your mom and tell her you love her and speak very specifically and practically of things that she's done to impact your life and your children's lives as well.
Now, you have a heart for evangelism. Today we're talking with Pastor Al Baker. Now, what about that mom out there who realizes, well, I kind of blew it, and I wasn't a very good mom, and I came to the Lord late, and I've got all these failures. Should she despair?
No, not at all. I always tell people that, of course, none of us are perfect. We've all failed, but if she's in Jesus Christ, she's forgiven.
Amen.
And I always urge people to go back to those they've wronged, and admit their sin and confess their sin and ask for forgiveness. And the beautiful thing about Christianity is that God forgives sin. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I made a mistake. This was a wrong." No. God doesn't forgive mistakes; He forgives sins. And so, if we've sinned, then confess that sin and ask forgiveness and try to be reconciled to your children and just say, "Look, I know that I was not a good mom. I should have done this. I should have done that. I see it now. Would you please forgive me?" And we have somebody in our distant family who has come to the Lord recently, and she was not a particularly good mom, and she's trying now. She's really trying to make up for lost time, you know, and it's not easy, but she's really earnest about it. It's a really beautiful thing to see.
I like the reminder of going to the person and asking forgiveness. We're inclined to think, oh, they're going to think ill of me and this, that, the other thing, but sometimes you find it wasn't a big deal, and the person very readily forgives you and says, "Oh, it's no problem, move on," type of thing. And I think most of the time it's that, at least in in my limited life experience, do it. Just do it and clear your conscience, and it'll make you feel better.
Well, that's right. And, you know, repeatedly in the scriptures, it says that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
And I do believe that most people, even if they're hardened, unconverted people, when somebody humbly comes and sincerely asks for forgiveness, most people will give that to them. They will grant them that forgiveness.
Mm.
Because I think people really appreciate humility, genuine humility.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we have to do. And that is the beauty of the Christian life. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful thing to know that God forgives us, not just when we're converted, but day by day, he forgives us of our sins.
Praise God for his forgiveness. Pastor Al Baker, our friend, thank you for joining us today, and may God bless your ministry, your home, and your wife. Wish her a happy Mother's Day for us.
I will do so. Thank you, Dan, so much.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.